We left off last week with Jesus declaring that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In my estimation, this should have left us feeling pretty good about ourselves, for in these words of Jesus, I found great comfort. As one comes to know from the reading of the Gospels, the scribes and the Pharisees are not exactly the model of righteousness when compared to the teachings of Jesus. It almost sounded like Jesus had lowered the bar on the entrance exam. So with this in mind, as a follower of Jesus, one could certainly walk around with their head held high and carried on being salt and light as co-workers with Christ in the work of the kingdom. That is until this morning. We gathered here and encountered a Jesus who sounds a lot like the one John the Baptist described, the one with the winnowing fork in his hand, clearing the threshing floor and tossing the chaff into the unquenchable fire. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus brings out the sharpening stick, and in the presence of his disciples, he runs these Mosaic laws against the stone, bringing them to a sharpened point, a radical, sharp-edged point. And with this sharpened point, Jesus cuts to the very heart of the Torah. Jesus, in his own way, uses the traditional teachings on murder, adultery, and prayer as the starting point for his winnowing. Using these familiar teachings, he intensifies and radicalizes them. In this way, Jesus does not do what he is often accused of doing. He does not abolish the law or do away with any of it. Instead, he uses them as doorways to the examination of the internal dynamics as well as the external behaviors of one's life. Anger, derision, slander, arrogance, lust, temptation, alienation, and so on. Even though these teachings of Jesus seem to be brand new and extremely difficult to follow, they are not new to Jewish thinking. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the law is to be taken to the heart and not just outwardly observed. Like the prophets Micah and Isaiah before him, Jesus makes it clear that it is one thing to behave rightly, but it is an entirely different thing for one's heart to be oriented toward love. Like how it is one thing not to go around killing people, but what about going around harboring hatred in your heart towards another? The repeated theme of Jesus, found here in the fifth chapter and throughout St. Matthew's Gospel, is that the law needs to be kept in the heart. But there's a problem with that. There's a problem with the heart. As Jesus tells the Pharisees and the scribes during a debate about hand washing, that whatever comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. In Scripture, the heart is the very center of a person's will and action. And yet it appears to be the very core of the problem. So how can one truly follow what Jesus wills for us in his hyper-focused version of the law? Well, it seems that one of the main problems in following Jesus is that we continue to think that we can fix this problem by striving to be better versions of ourselves. It might depend on the circles in which you run in or what kind of late-night TV you might be watching, but the message is scarily similar. Be best. Be the best you. Live your best life now. The heart of the matter is that even the very best version of us, the best us that we can be, is still extremely crappy. It's still broken, and it's absolutely still sinful. We have a complex heart issue, and it's not one that can be fixed by eating some amount of Cheerios or with a couple visits to the doctor's office. As Lutherans, we understand the law as both guide and accuser. In this case, it sure as heck seems to be more accuser than guide. But while Jesus is showing us the impossibility of the heart of the law, he is also revealing the radical reality of the kingdom of God. Our ears may not be able to tune out what sounds like condemnation. It might be ringing through our ears. But Jesus, in his winnowing, has tossed away the chaff to show us the heart of God's intent. In all of the antitheses lifted up by Jesus, it is clear that God wills for the value of God's creation. That humanity doesn't just live at surface level, treating one another with the bare minimum of civility and what we might call morality, but that we dive into the depths of relationship through respect, integrity, and love, a profoundness for the dignity of each other, a response to the law that would be utterly impossible if it were not for Jesus Christ and the freedom from sin and death that he brings us. So may these words of law sharpened by the mouth of Christ drive you to him. May they serve as a mirror, reflecting back to us the image of our broken, sinful hearts, as well as the image of the one who has set us free from the fate that surely awaited us. May we follow Jesus, casting all of our hopes upon him, trusting in his promise of salvation, and inviting the Spirit to reshape our hearts to love and serve both God and neighbor with a deepness that reflects the love of Christ. Amen.